Welcome to another message in Fish Lake Valley, or from Fish Lake Valley, I should say. We're studying the book of Malachi. We're finishing it. We had one message, and we studied from Herbert Lockyer's book, All the Parables in the Bible. But I want to go back to the third chapter of the book of Malachi, and I want to read and comment on these verses. Malachi means my messenger, my angel. The word angel of the Lord, many times in the Bible, is talking about Jesus, the messenger of God, the messenger from God, messenger out of God. Malachi says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, the Messiah, whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple." It was not the Jews' temple, was not Herod's temple, it was the Lord's temple. That's what it represented. The messenger or angel of the covenant, the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Barith, or Diatheke in the New Testament. Hekinah Diatheke is the New Testament. The Old Testament, the old Barith, the old cutting, the old covenant. No covenant was made without the shedding of blood. The covenant whom you desire, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. Many times in the book of Malachi, the Lord keeps emphasizing the term Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Matthew 11:10, 1:13 through 17, and 76 is talking about the coming one, the one that shall come. We have two coming ones. One is John the Baptist, or Elijah, and the other is the coming Messiah, the HaMashiach, the King, the glorious Messiah, King of Israel. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. Here we have two parables. We're teaching all the parables of the Bible. This is the last Old Testament parable that we will teach from the books of Malachi. The next message I preach will be from the tabernacle. The tabernacle is a parable of Jesus Christ, as I said in the last message. Like a refiner's fire, burn off all the dross. This is a parabolic teaching. The Lord will burn off all the dross of Israel until he can see himself as a refiner would in a reflection. After all the dross is taken away, that silver becomes a mirror. The old mirrors that used to be made had silver backgrounds. They had silver backgrounds. And as silver backgrounds, those mirrors were beautifully reflectant mirrors with a silver background. That's what a pure, refined silver looks like, is like that mirror that is so reflective. And God will see himself in Israel finally. Like a fuller soap, like detergent, like lye soap, you'll be cleaned, you'll be washed whiter than snow. Revelation 6, 12 through 17. Let's go there. Revelation 6, 12 through 17. That's the last book in the Bible. And Revelation 6, 12 through 17 tells about the Lord when he's going to come back. Revelation, the 19th chapter, talks about Adonai HaAdonaiim, or the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when the Lamb broke open the sixth seal, I looked, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun grew black as sackcloth of hair. The full disk of it, the moon, became like blood. And Joel 2:10 talks about this, and 31. And the star in the sky dropped to the earth like fig tree, shedding its unripe fruit, out of season when shaken by a strong wind. Isaiah 34 and verse 4, cross-reference to this also. And the sky rolled up like a scroll. Like a scroll. Like a window shade. And vanished, and every mountain and island was dislodged from its place. This is a tremendous earthquake. The earth shall quake at the Lord. Then the kings of the earth, and the noble men, and the magnates, and their military chiefs and the wealthy and the strong and everyone, whether slave or free, or hid themselves in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. Isaiah 2 and 10, another cross reference of this same thing. And they called to the mountains and to the rocks, fall upon us, hide us from the face of him who sits upon the throne and from the deep-seated indignation and wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath and vengeance and retribution and indignation has come, and who is able to stand before it? To go back to the book of Malachi now. And he will set as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the priest, the sons of Levi. Remember the sons of Levi. Levi was a scoundrel. We know that. Simeon and Levi went in after the whole city of Shechem had been converted and circumcised. They went into that city and murdered every man of age and made everyone else and all their wives slaves and all of their property, their cattle and their property. Joseph or Jacob never did forgive them of that. The curse was that Levi would never have an inheritance, but they would become the priests. And that's like us today. We don't deserve anything of the Lord. We're undeserving. Unconditional election. We're undeserving. Not the best of mankind does not deserve the grace of God. And the grace of God in that should be magnified. The preachers, Usins, preachers, are ungodly buzzards, just like the rest of the earth that walk the face of the earth. On two or four legs. Sons of Levi refined them like gold and silver to where God can see his reflection in them. That they may offer to the Lord offerings of righteousness. Then will the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasing to the Lord, and in the days of the old, as in the days of old, in the ancient years, in the ancient times. Then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, the drug dealers, the prostitutes, against the false swearers, against the perjurers, and against those who oppress the hireling in his wages, those, the big business, that take advantage of their people and work them for nothing and give them no benefits. The widow and the fatherless who turn aside the temporary resident from his right and fear not me, says Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord. I do not change. That is why you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed because of my covenant with Abraham and my covenant with David. Israel has a place in the economy of God in the end for 1,000 years. They do not deserve it. They crucified the Messiah. They do not deserve it. But because of God's grace, because of God's love for David and Abraham, that those two unconditional covenants, they will be part of God's economy. Will a man rob God or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me, but you say, how did we do that? You have withheld your tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. You are robbing me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes and the whole tenth of your income into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now. Prove me now by it, says Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour out blessings, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. Malachi 2 and 2. And I will rebuke the devourer. These devourers here are locusts. And there are aphids. And they were all types of insects that eat up the fruit. I will rebuke them. I'm going to send them someplace else. I'm going to go send them over there to some other nation that will not honor me. For your sake, and he shall destroy the fruits of your ground. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine drop its fruit before the time in the field, says the Jehovah Sabaoth. and all the nations shall call you blessed and happy. For you shall be a land of delight, says Jehovah Sabaoth. Again and again, the Lord of hosts. This is Jesus, Adonai HaAdonaim, in John the 19th chapter and Deuteronomy. Your words have been strong and hard against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit it is if we keep His ordinances and walk gloomily, and if mourning apparel before the Lord of hosts? Why should we mourn for our sins? Why? We have become, as churches today, very, very sinner-friendly. Sinner-friendly. Now, we're all saved sinners. But when a church becomes an entertainment center, and when a church lowers its boundaries of what right and wrong is so they can get the whole group in, many pastors want mega churches. Well, I am a pastor of a micro church. A micro church. But a micro church is fine and refined like silver and gold. That micro church is. We don't want just anybody in our church house. I'm Reverend Brother Madden used to say a long time ago, young man, young woman, you sure you want to join this church? You're going to have a lot of responsibility. You sure you're going to do this? You want to do that? You want to be baptized? You sure you want to be baptized? You sure you want to lay your life on the line? I talk to people. Why are you doing? Why do you want to join the church? Why? Why do you want to join the church? Why? Had a man come to me one time and said, I want to join the church. I'll tithe and everything else in the church. I just want to be able to put that fish on my business card so I can let everybody know I'm a Christian, so I can get more business from Christians. How will we cheat the Lord? It's useless to serve the Lord. Why should we go about in mourning apparel before? Why shall we repent of our sins? If you're a child of God, when you sin, you know, the old story about saved once, say always saved, save once, always saved. The security of the believer is true. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're a child of God, when you sin, you don't feel so good. You're not quite so happy. Somebody said to me one time, if I believe that old sin, save once, save for all, security of the believer, he said, I go out and sin all I want. I just sin, if I believe that. I said, well, I sin more than I want to. I do. I sin more than I want to sin. I don't want to sin. But because I live in this rotten flesh, I sin. I don't like it. I don't like to think the thoughts. I don't like to feel the things I feel. Because I still am in this Adamic flesh. But I also have a Spirit of God in me that prompts me and spurs me on to His ways. On to purification. On to sanctification. And now we consider the proud and the arrogant and the happy and the favored and the evildoers who exalt and prosper. Yes, and when they test God, they escape unpunished. Then those who feared the Lord talked often one to another, and the Lord listened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him of those who reverenced. Feared and worshipfully feared the Lord. The beginning of knowledge. Fear is the beginning of all knowledge. We need to fear our God. We need to love our God. And in love there is fear. Many times children never fear their parents. They ought to revere their parents if the parents raised them right. The children could not have had a greater gift had a parent raised them in church and taught them to mind and taught them right from wrong. When they have children, they will wish and be thankful for what their mother and father taught them, if they were taught that way. Many people in America today raise children, many in societies, just for a welfare check. Many women marry men just so they can have children, so they can sue them for divorce and child support. These are wicked and evil ways. In Jesus' time, men were divorcing their wives and marrying other wives for no reason. There are reasons for divorce in the Bible. We know them, but they were divorcing them for any reason. Jesus said, I hate divorce. Sometimes God hates marriage. Did you know that? Marry yourself to some ungodly buzzard, male or female, and see if you don't become miserable. And they shall be mine, says Jehovah Sabaoth. And in the day that I publicly and renounce and openly declare them to be my jewels, my precious jewels, my special things, my special things that are close to my heart, my special possession, my peculiar treasure. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Now, sometimes a father or mother were called on in the past to correct their children. Among the American Indian people, as I am standing here, about 88.6% Native American, you know, we didn't have any prisons. American Indians didn't have prisons. American Indians didn't have death penalty either. But yet they did. Now, this is a hard thing. This is a hard thing. If a young man or young woman became so worthless in their character, aselgia is the Greek word, unbridled lust, unbridled behavior, they were banned from the tribes. And sometimes these outlaws that were banned from the tribes would all gather together and they would be raiders and murderers and rapists. And there's where you have many of these. The Indian culture is so bemeaned by the people because of the outlaw Indians that banded together that were 86th banished from the tribes. Banishment was supposed to bring death. Mm-hmm. Now, if a man or woman so dishonored his people, the father or the mother was called upon to end their life. That ought to give you a good excuse to raise your children, right? Mm-hmm. You may have to be the executioner. Mm-hmm. Well, parents, mothers, fathers out there, wherever you are in the world, raise your children to fear the Lord. And raise your children to see that you love them. Because if you don't love those children, how can they know that God loves them? You are a representative of God in their life. For the first 3 or 4 years of your life, you are God and Goddess to them. What they see in your life, they're going to see right. They will believe you don't do any wrong. They should not believe that you do any wrong. I've seen mothers cuss the fathers. I have seen fathers curse the mothers. That should never be in a Christian home. It should never be in any home. You've got to have respect. You've got to have respect between mother and father and father and mother and children. They should be a system of honor there. When you don't have that honor system, children should not want to lie to their parents. Parents should not lie to their children. Parents should not deceive their children. Parents should not punish their children when they are mad. Never strike a child when you are mad. Never. I made, and my wife will be a testimony to this. We raised my youngest daughter. Marilyn, you never saw me raise my voice to her ever. You never saw me correct her in public. You never saw me correct her in front of anybody else. You never saw me even correct her in front of you. Never. I got her off to the side and I laid it on her. Between her and me. That's what it was. And I told her what was right and what was wrong. Your parents out there, if you correct your children in anger, shame on you. Children, if you dishonor your mother and your father, shame on you. You will answer for it. Shame on you. That's the title of this message, Shame on You. Shame on you if you do not walk in the ways of righteousness. Shame on you, parent, if you do not behave righteously before your children. Shame on you, children, if you dishonor your mother and your fathers. Then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him who serves God and him who does not serve him. Chapter number 4. Behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud and arrogant say yes. And all that do wicked and you who are lawless shall be stubbled, fire, fuel for the fire. The day that comes shall burn them up, says Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you who revere, fear, and worshipfully fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. Here, now we have another figure of speech, another parable, saying that the Lord will come quickly to our rescue, like on eagle's wings, and protect us like a mother hen does her babies. I've watched this, I've raised chickens all of my life. And it always just absolutely thrills me to see the love of a mother hen over her babies. That she will put herself in harm's way. I remember one time, long, long time ago, 50 years ago, maybe 60 years ago, I had a hen, and she had a clutch of babies. And she was out in the yard with these babies out in the field. And a chicken hawk came down and grabbed one of her offspring. That mother hen lit off after that hawk and flew up there and shuffled on him with her feet, spurring him. The feathers were flying from heaven. She dropped that baby. That hawk dropped that baby. His neck was all tore up. I had to sew his neck up. I called him Naked Neck. He had scars from that encounter, but his mother risked her life and saved him. She thought more of that baby chick than she did her own life, because that chicken hawk could have taken her away.
Yeah.
But she put herself in harm's way. Mothers and fathers, have you tried to give your children more than you have? Have you tried to give them a better chance in this world than you had when you grew up? Now, some of you may have grown up with a silver spoon in your mouth. I grew up with a dirt floor with no window and no door. I tried to give my children more than that, and I tried to teach them right from wrong. I tried to show them I love them. I sacrificed my good for theirs. I tried to show them right and wrong. I tried to show them that I loved them. God says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, because the world already condemned, that it might have life through the one that came and gave His life as a ransom for all. But unto you who revere and worshipfully fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise, and with healing in His wings and His beams, sunbeam. My grandmother used to come to me in that little old shack that we lived in. We all slept in one bed. She'd get up and start cooking breakfast. Breakfast was beans warmed over from the night before. And whatever else we might scrounge up. Maybe a piece of a biscuit or something. The beans would boil in the pot in Bakersfield when it was 120 in the daytime, 130, and 95 at night. You could go in there and those beans you ate the night before were sitting there fermenting and boiling. My grandmother would take and throw a pinch of baking soda in it, and then boil them for 15 or 20 minutes, and those beans had to be hot like fire on your plate. I, even as a little child, I liked to slice an onion if we had one, and chop it up in little pieces, and pour those boiling beans over that onion, because that's breakfast now. Onions are sweet when they're cooked. And then at the last few bites of the meal, I'd take some sugar and put on the last few beans, and that was dessert. Mm-hmm. You people out there that had better than that, thank God that you did. That's the way I was raised. The first house I ever lived in my life in was down here in the south end of Fish Lake Valley. I moved into that big, beautiful home with windows and doors on it. I thought I was in a palace. Today it's got pack rats and trash all in it. It's abandoned. I wish I could move it here and put it right here and preach in that front room. But it's made out of concrete block. Mm-hmm. So it don't move very well. And you shall go forth and gamble like calves. You shall dance and leap like calves. Release from the stall and leap to joy. You take a horse or a calf or a sheep or something and turn it loose out there in the field, it'll jump all over the place. You know, when the Lord saves your soul, you ought to be jumping in glee. And you shall tread down the lawless and the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says Jehovah Sabaoth. Earnestly remember the law of Moses, my servant, and I commanded him on Mount Horeb to give all that Israel and the statutes and the ordinances. And behold, I will send Elijah. You know what Elijah means? God is God. El and Jehovah. God is Jehovah is God. John 1:14 says, Kai hologo sarxaganato. And the Word, the Jehovah fleshy, became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. John 1:18. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, the one beings inseparable in the bosom of the Father, that one has let himself out, and we see Jesus. We see Jesus. Shame on you if you have not accepted him as your Savior. You will not go to hell because of sin. You'll go to hell because you rejected Jesus. And when you're in hell, you will be judged because of your sins and what you've done, but you won't go to hell because of that. Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Matthew 11:14 and 17:10-13, Jesus said, I say unto you that John the Baptist is Elijah, that he came and announced my day. And you heard it, and some would not come. Shame on them. Shame on you if you do not come. And he shall turn and reconcile the hearts of the estranged fathers to the ungodly children and the hearts of the rebellious children to the piety of their fathers, and a reconciliation produced by repentance of the ungodly. You know what ungodly means? That means actively not related to God. Are you a child of God living an ungodly life, showing the world that you're actively not related to God? Lest I come and smite the land with a curse and ban of utter destruction. Luke 1:17 in the New Testament. What have you done with Jesus? If you haven't accepted him as your Savior, shame on you. And if you've accepted him as Savior in your life and you're not living for the Lord, shame on you. Every day that we live in this world, we ought to remember Jesus as our Savior and say, praise you, our Savior and God. Thank you for the salvation that I so much do not deserve. When people think that God can't live without them or God can't do anything in this world without them, they're getting too proud. I know that God uses each and every person. God has a plan for your life. And if you don't do it, shame on you. What does God want you to do? You know what He wants you to do. First thing, I remember Dr. Martin Van Buren Kahneman when he was preaching up in Corcoran, I believe, pastoring the church up there. He had a radio program. He had one church member that was a faithful woman, and her husband was just absolutely rebellious, gambler, card player, drinker, womanizer, and everything you could think of. But he wouldn't come to church because the church was full of hypocrites. He used to go out. He wouldn't go to church. He'd go out there in his car, and he had a railroad tie or iron behind it. He'd drag it around and drag it around his yard. He had a big yard, piece of property there, and he sat out there and listened to Brother Canavan preach as he'd go. He wouldn't go to church, wouldn't see the preacher. He listened to him preach out there, and one day, he came busting in that church door during the middle of the service, ran down the aisle, and hit the mourner's bench. Brother Canavan quit preaching, went down there and talked to the old boy. Said, "What do you want? I want to be saved. I'm a lost sinner. I want to be saved. I've been rejecting God. I want to be saved." And then Brother Canavan said, that man had the audacity and said, "Well, now what do you want me to do? What should I do?" He said, "Do exactly what all the things that you said those church members were being ungodly buzzards about and reprobates and hypocrites. Do the right thing." You know what that old boy did? He surrendered to preach. He became a greater preacher than Martin Canavan, he said. That's what his goal was, to be better than Brother Canavan, better preacher. He drowned in Lake Isabella. But he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, shame on you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't serve Him, shame on you. If you don't recognize Him every day of your life as your Creator and your Savior, shame on you. Mothers and fathers, raise your children in the way that they should go, or shame on you. Children that are born again and their parents are not saved, shame on you if you do not live righteously before them. I know of an incident of a man that had two children. His wife was a very ungodly woman. But those children professed to know Christ. But those children are the most ungodly things in this world. And their old daddy is a rough customer. Talks like a sailor. But the man's heart is true, as righteous as gold. But he doesn't believe in religion because of the two children that professed Christ and yet live like reprobates. You, what is your life like? Will the Lord say shame on you? Will you blush when you see the Lord coming? Our Father, we give these words to you this day. Please apply them out there to people wherever they are in the world. Forgive us where we fail you. Help us always to glorify you with our lives and with our hearts. Let us not make sacrifices of money, but sacrifices of our hearts. Then we will make sacrifices of our money, and whatever we have will be yours, Father. Father, forgive us for your failure. Urge us, prompt us, spur us on to sanctification of life and spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.